What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. This is episode number 49. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We are, as usual, coming to you from the fight capital of the world. Beautiful and not so hot anymore, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we are going to take a look back at the UFC Copenhagen event. We're going to take a look forward to the upcoming UFC 243, which sees the return of champ Robert Whittaker against interim champ Israel Adesanya. We're going to talk a bit about Bellator and their featherweight tournament. We're going to definitely talk about boxing with a possible fight of the year candidate recently with Errol Spence Jr. defeating Sean Porter via split decision. And, of course, we are going to talk about some announced fights. But before we get to all of that, we're going to do our Weed of the Week.
Smoke weed every day.
This week, we are smoking on some Zookies. I haven't had a chance to hit this yet, Paul, but you were coughing your ass off a second ago. Is it good?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's never really bad, except for that banana OG last week.
Yeah, this one's a Zookies. That wasn't bad. Blue Dream.
That's the Blue Dream. That's the other one. We got some Blue Dream, and we got some Zookies. Now, let me hit this real quick, and we'll talk about this strain for a second. This is Animal Cookies, crossed with the original glue, formerly known as Gorilla Glue number 4.
The original who?
Original glue. That's a tasty strain, man. It's pretty colorful, too. Animal Cookies is one of my favorites. That's good. It's Girl Scout Cookies cross a Fire OG. And, of course, Gorilla Glue number 4 has three parents. That's, what is it, Chocolate Diesel, Chem Sister, and some Sour Double. So that's a lot of good lineology. Lineology, is that a word?
Nope.
I don't think
we
so.
We made it up, though.
So. Made it up. We're going to roll with it. You know what I'm talking about. That's some good lineology. Now, we're Girl Scout Cookies, Fire OG, Chocolate Diesel, Chem Sister, Sour Double. No wonder this bud tastes pretty good, man.
Oh, yeah.
And this Dream, this Blue Dream, that's pretty common weed. You can find this in about anywhere. It's classic. We don't have a lot of it, but it's a good sativa. I'm going to hit that, too. How was your weekend, man? What did you do?
Got high and watched the fights. What about
we
you?
We had a lot of fucking fights this weekend, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude. There's a lot of combat sports going on.
I found time to bounce over to the movies real quick. I saw, I finally saw It. Chapter 2.
Yeah, I saw that the week before. It's pretty good, I guess.
It was all right. I got to admit, I was kind of disappointed. Let me hit this weed real quick. What did you think?
I mean, it's cool. I mean, it just wasn't very scary at all.
Nah. I mean, I'm a big Stephen King fan. Hell, you've seen my library. I got every King book out in hardback. I happen to have the original first edition hardback of It. It's worth like $800. So, I mean, I like the story. I like the whole fucking thing. But I liked the first one. I thought that was good, but I was kind of disappointed. But you know what was cool? I saw it in a 4D theater, which is, I think Vegas is one of the few cities to have those. They're not real common yet. But have you checked out a 4D theater yet?
Mm-mm.
Not too many people have. It's pretty dope. It had a, basically, here, let me hit this weed. Basically, it's a regular movie, but it's also got wind, rain inside the theater. Wind blows in the theater, rain. They pump, smells inside. So, like, if they're cooking bacon on screen, they pump the fucking smell of bacon in the theater. They got additional strobe lights all around. And then, also, your chair fucking moves. It vibrates, like, shifts, goes up and down. So, that shit made the movie kind of cool. So, like, every time in the movie, when Pennywise was chomping on somebody's face, like, water would fall from the sky. So, you'd get, like, splatter on your fucking face. Shit like that. So that was fun.
It's intense.
You know, it was kind of expensive. It was fucking like $24 a ticket. So, you know, but
Jesus.
I go back and see something else in the 4D. It was pretty cool.
It's definitely a good movie to do it.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. Overall, I left kind of disappointed. Like, that's not the ending in the book. Like, that's not how that shit goes down. They don't go on a quest to get little fucking trinkets and yell at Pennywise until he, spoiler alert, shrinks into a fucking baby clown with a big head. What the fuck was that? I was trying not to laugh. I was like, man, that's pretty silly. Baby clown.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Strange one.
It was weird.
It was weird.
But enough about the movies, man. That's not what we're here to talk about. What did you think of our fucking this past weekend of fights was pretty spectacular. We had Bellator, yeah. We had UFC, we had a bunch of minor league MMA, we had boxing.
Yep.
Capped off with the Errol Spence Jr. versus Sean Porter unification bout.
I liked how everything had its own time slot, too. It was like all timed out throughout the day.
It was nice with that UFC card airing early.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hella early. A lot of fucking upsets on that card.
You want to start with that?
Yeah, might as well.
So that would be the UFC Copenhagen card.
We're not really going to go into most of these fights, but I just want to kind of point out, like, there's a few big upsets on the card. You had Khalil Roundtree getting TKO'd in the first round.
Dude, yeah. What was that? That was a shocker. And we both picked
him. Just got put in a bad situation and got fucking beat down, dude.
Did you see him at the weigh-ins?
Yeah, that was fucking strange.
That was weird.
Yeah. That dude's a beast, though.
He is a beast. He's like, screamed in Khalil's face, and Khalil just, like, did the super flinch.
Yeah, it was weird. And then fucking Gunnar Nelson lays another egg, like we talked about.
Jesus, that was really disappointing. Gilbert Burns is no slouch. I
no slouch,
about him last week, too, but
still.
Damn.
I thought Gunnar would have that one in the bag going in there.
It's unfortunate. I did, too. That's four in a row for Gilbert Burns now at 170.
Yeah, he's looking good.
He's looking really good. I mean,
he called out Mike Perry, I don't want to say. So, that'd be a good fight.
I didn't know he did that. That is an interesting fight. I don't know.
Or either Mike Perry called him out or something like that, but I saw them.
Perry can't fuck with that jiu-jitsu game of Gilbert Burns, but he might be able to knock him out.
Yeah, maybe.
Knock anybody out. I don't know if
Nicholas
I like
Nicholas Dalby called out Mike Perry, too.
I like that fight a bit better, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Shit, I think both fights are good. I'd like to see Dalby and Perry, though, because Dalby will stand with him. I don't think Burns will stand with him.
No, definitely not. That's why I think that's not a very good fight for Mike. But, you know, whatever. What about the main event?
Shit, that was crazy, man.
Yeah, it was 185. I mean, that's some title implications. More like rankings implications on the line. Jack Hermanson going in. We both picked him to win.
He was looking good.
I thought he was going to handily beat Jared Cannonier, who, as we talked about last week, is dropping, you know, since dropping down to 185 now, all the way down from heavyweight at the beginning. He's just
won three in a row now. Yeah. Yep. He's got wins over Anderson Silva and Hermanson now. Shit.
Second round TKO, I mean.
And he fucking smashed him on the ground.
He sure did.
That was intense.
It was pretty impressive. And he was pretty well written off by major MMA
everybody,
reporter, anybody
everybody
before this fight. I mean, I watched an entire video. I think it was by Luke Thomas. I could be wrong, but and I felt the same way. It was just, I mean, giving him no chance to win.
Yeah.
Like, none. Like, this was a fucking not even supposed to be happening. It's going to be a mauling. And instead, he goes out and impressively wins. He's a problem at 185 for people, I think.
Definitely.
I mean, I'd like to see him matched up against, Costa. Well, he's unlikely to take that fight.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think maybe like a Romero, maybe Costa.
Ooh, that'd be a nice
another
fight
big
too.
Puncher.
Yeah.
Because what he's doing right now is he's just fucking showing his explosiveness and handling the smaller guys. So I'd like to see Costa just because Costa's on his same size range and to see how he'd handle that adversity.
Costa's ranked pretty high right now because I think he's...
Costa's talking about he deserves a title shot, but I don't know about that.
You know, a top three likely in his future if he holds out a little.
Yeah. But Costa's talking about holding out for a title shot, so I don't know.
Yeah, that should all get sorted out, which we'll get to UFC in Australia here in a little bit. But other than that fight on the card, I mean, that definitely stops Manson's momentum that he had going on. So he's going to have to figure it out from here. We'll see if this was
all these middleweights are in a strange situation, too, because, like, there's definitely, like, gaps in everybody's abilities and technique. But, like, everybody is probably going to fight each other a couple times. Like, I would think. Because everyone is so close. You know what I mean? At the top of middleweight, there's so many guys who could fight for the belt right now and have some kind of claim after one win. You know what I'm saying? So. And we're seeing, like, a lot of the guys who were the old, like, guys who were kind of carrying the division leaving and going to light heavyweight now. Like, Jacare, freaking Weidman, Rockhold. So now they're all light heavyweights. So now you got guys like Hermanson, Cannonier, Costa, Adesanya, people like that who just have like freshened up the division. Mm-hmm. So I could see a lot of guys like this fight possibly could be ran back in the future, just because it was interesting enough to, you know what I'm saying? Just because all those guys are competitive enough that I think Hermanson could get on another streak and possibly earn this fight again. You know,
yeah, definitely. There's been a, like you were saying, a for sure changing of the guard at middleweight.
Yeah.
He's not done just because of...
kind of everywhere in the UFC recently. Like, a lot of these older guys are kind of getting shucked to the wayside. Like, I mean, I know he just fought for the title, but kind of like... I don't know. I don't think, like, Frankie Edgar has it anymore.
I knew you were going to say Edgar. Yeah, I know. I hate to say it, too, but Edgar's...
Same thing with, like I don't know why... I don't know why Faber came back. I don't think that was a good idea. I think if he fights Dillashaw and waits for Dillashaw, Dillashaw will eat him alive.
Dillashaw's going to fuck him up. Dillashaw's in his prime, coming off 2 years of...
Yeah, of doing nothing.
Faber will be, what, 42 at that point?
Yep.
I mean, he's 40.
And would have to have won two fights in that time span.
Well, that's silly.
There's no way he's not fighting until Dillashaw comes back.
No, that'd be pointless.
Just fucking retire then. Like, you're just going to retire again.
That's a bullshit fight. I don't think that happened.
So I feel like this like new generation is starting to take over in a lot of these weight classes. And
yeah, I can't disagree with that. We're just on light heavyweight.
Welterweight, same thing.
Welterweight.
Although welterweight, there's some older names in there still. It's still like the younger guys are kind of eating the older lions recently. Like,
yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about the welterweight title picture here later on in the show. But, I mean, look at the two names fighting in that. You know, this definitely represents the changing of the guard at that weight class, too.
Yep.
So, the rest of the UFC Copenhagen card, I mean, it was fairly entertaining and all, but I don't think there's really too much to talk about.
Yeah, it was all pretty clear-cut, like, flash knockouts.
Yeah. Well, speaking of flash knockouts, let's shift over to Bellator real quick. How about, you know, one that stood out for me, they had two events this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One that Dublin, really stood out was
then one
AJ McKee and his father on the second night.
Fought in the same card.
Fighting on the same card. His old man, Antonio McKee, I mean.
He won his fight, too.
Wins his fight at 49
years
old.
What a savage.
His son goes out.
And they cornered each other.
Yeah, that was... That's
his son
cool.
goes out and knocks his guy out in 8 fucking seconds.
Yeah, second fastest KO in Bellator history. He just and he starts him legit as fuck. I mean, he came out, he threw, I think, an overhand right, and the dude blocked it.
Boom, boom.
And then he followed up with two more, and dude was down. I think he took one. He was clearly out. He stiffened up.
He took
one on the ground. Ref swooped in.
Man.
Clean.
McKee's looking tough.
He is looking tough. I mean, that he advances now in that featherweight tournament.
He's going to fight
Derek Campos
next,
believe, right?
Yeah.
In December. So he's fighting again pretty fast.
Pretty quick. Well, he fucking fought 8 seconds. So.
Yeah, he's not
he
too worn out.
Wasn't too worn out at all. So, that's a tough fight too, though. Derek Campos, he's a tough vet, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, I feel like his time is more or less past, but... He's not way past his prime.
You know, switching around kind of to the other night on the Bellator card, we'll circle back around on that featherweight tournament, but what about on the first night we had James Gallagher, admittedly fighting a late replacement, but still with an impressive quick win, as well as Michael Venom Page with yet another flying knee as well. A little bit of controversy with the fucking...
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit real quick, because that really pissed me off.
Okay, so it was MVP versus, I don't even know who he was fighting. Let's be real here, somebody he should beat the shit out of.
Yeah, it was kind of he got knocked out in his last fight. It was kind of a get back it out on track situation. First loss of his career. He fought a guy who talks shit from Europe, you know, tough guy, whatever. And so they're talking shit back and forth throughout the pre-fight and post-fight and during the fight. And now, who is the referee?
Dan Mergliotta.
Dan Mergliotta.
Dana White's favorite.
Yeah. Decides to go ahead and fucking take a point away for taunting in the fight, which I've never, ever seen.
Yeah, he stops the fight, takes a point away from MVP for taunting. Then in the same round, his opponent gives
him
the fucking
him off,
bird,
yeah.
Doesn't get a point taken away for taunting.
And then after the fight, so MVP knees him in the head, knocks him out, And as he goes down, the guy like gets up and like tries to say he's not out, and he's like wobbling around in the octagon. And MVP is like taunting him because that guy talked a bunch of fucking shit.
Yeah, there was a lot of like back and forth.
People can say what they want about MVP, but that guy talked a lot of shit to him back. So like, he got everything he said he was gonna get. And
you get what you get when you talk some shit.
Exactly. And and then Dan Mergliotta goes and goes ahead and tells MVP you're a piece of shit in the octagon.
Yeah. So Dan is not a fan of MVP tooling up.
There's just that just can't happen. That's just something that just can't fucking happen, dude.
That's the exact opposite of what's supposed to happen. The referee is supposed to be completely unbiased and just in there enforcing fucking rules.
I don't care how you feel about how anybody carries themselves. You can't fucking do that. You're a fucking professional.
Right in the octagon, too.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever they call it in fucking Bellator.
Well, here's the thing, though, is like, now if I'm MVP, I turn around and I say, hey, I don't want that ref ever reffing my fight again.
Which he did.
And yeah, I don't. Yeah, as you should. And I think the commission should look into that and maybe say something on that, because it's a situation where you just can't do it. It's plain and simple. You just can't. There's certain lines you do not cross, and he crossed those lines.
This is a guy that's infamous for his fucking mistakes in the UFC. I mean, he doesn't even ref UFC anymore, does he?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm almost certain Dana
White. Well, there was a UFC fucking, like, card the same day, and he didn't.
To fucking have him in the UFC anymore after his latest fucking thing. But that's.
Yeah, well, it's just like.
He
I don't
seems
know.
To consistently earn that fucking reputation because he fucking goofs a lot. And this is. You can't. You're right. You can't do that. So.
Just like I said, there's just lines you can't cross as a professional. You know, there's.
It's fucking silly.
It's a part of the job that you can't cross that line. You know? It's fucking ridiculous.
Didn't Gallagher win by a flying knee as well, didn't he?
No, I think he subbed him.
Did he sub him? Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, you're right. He subbed him. He knocked him down with a flying knee.
He subbed him.
I'm not sure. Connor was there celebrating a win. Big night for SPG
and,
on the Dublin card, really. I think almost all their fights.
Peter Quilly won, too.
Yeah.
That was a fucking crazy fight, too.
Yeah. That was a good night for their team overall.
Yeah. And then the next night, their boy gets a title shot.
Yeah.
So sure.
Yes, should be good things going on with them in Bellator.
And Nicholas Dalby fights for SPG Ireland now too.
Does he? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so he won too. So
they're
fucking one. Those are all pluses for them this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Well, how about that Bellator tournament? The rest of the bracket was kind of fucking played out last night in some weird
I like
way,
a lot
drawing
of
drawing names, picking fights. What did you think of all that lead up after?
It was cool, but like it was a little drawn out.
Pitbull win.
Yeah, it was a little drawn out, but I don't know.
You know, Pitbull beats Archuleta.
You know what I think they also were trying to do? Also, is I think they were trying to start their fight after the Spence Porter fight, because if you watch it, like Spence Porter ends around the end of the first or second round of the Machida Musasi fight, so
that's
it's like
smart on their part.
You know what I mean? I think they were timing it out like that because in the big chunk in the middle was kind of like lengthy, like you know.
Yeah, they did this weird thing. If you didn't see the broadcast, folks, where instead of just proceeding on to the main event,
but it's cool though because then you get that instant gratification though.
Thing where they picked fights and
yeah, you do as a fan though, you do get that instant gratification of seeing the guy who's going to fight next instead of having to sit there and wait by your phone thinking, oh, God, when are they going to announce it? Like the UFC and shit like that. With
yeah,
this,
I get what
they're
trying to do. And plus, that's cool. The time to maximize the audience that they have in front of them.
Yeah. And they more or less let their guys pick their own fights.
To get more interest in the tournament itself.
So we got Campos and AJ McKee in December.
Right.
Then Caldwell and Borix, January. And then February is Emmanuel Sanchez versus Weich. And then Pitbull versus Calvillo, or however you say it.
Yeah, Caldwell.
In March.
Yeah, he was pushing for that.
Yeah, he wanted that Pitbull fight. Pitbull fucking goes, you're a loser.
Pitbull seemed to not want none. It's not right now.
I don't know, man. It was weird because even Coach Eric was saying, he's like, yeah, pick Darren Caldwell.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised he didn't, but
because I think
it is what it is.
I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit of strategic mind of Pitbull of not wanting a tough fight till the final.
Yeah, because you can't avoid anybody, but you can postpone it a little bit. Which, yeah.
We'll see. And by the way, I want to give some props to Juan Archuleta. He's game as fuck, dude. He didn't give a shit. He was in there. He was in his face. He took some big shots, and he just kept coming forward. Dude, he hit Pitbull with the weirdest shit I've ever seen. He got knocked down, and then he, like, hit him with, like, a double up kick, like, with both his heels, and it was weird.
Yeah, that was very odd.
And it fucking affected Pitbull, too. He was like, oh, what the shit.
A little bit of controversy leading up to the fight. His corner man, TJ Dillashaw, we mentioned earlier.
Just 10 minutes before, they said on the broadcast, 10 minutes before the fight, TJ Dillashaw was told he could not corner him. Like, okay, I understand if that's the rule, you can't corner him. But 10 minutes before the fight, guys, come on. You couldn't have told him this the week of, 2 days before, you know?
That's what made me wonder if it wasn't a complaint from Pitbull's team at the last minute.
Could have been, because Henry Cejudo's team. Henry Cejudo and him trained at the same gym, so that's possible.
Probably was. Because why would the commission who oversees that wait till 10 minutes before they're like, oh!
Yeah.
Never mind. But if there's a complaint, I mean, it's all spec here on my part. I have no fucking idea. But, you know, just guessing, I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was a fucking last minute complaint. kind of a bitch move, but whatever.
It's possible.
Possible.
Or a stupid oversight from the commission.
Either way, we talked about them delaying that possibly due to the boxing that was taking place on the same night. We might as well just talk about that since it correlates at the same time. What did you think of what I think up to right now in boxing was fight of the year thus far?
Yeah.
Errol Spence getting the split decision nod over Sean Porter, which I think is perfect. I don't think Porter won the fight, but I think he deserved a split decision, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was a fucking scrap, dude. It was dope. Errol Spence is...
back and forth. Everyone, I mean, I had Porter win in that first round, and then it seemed like Spence would win two, then Porter would win one, and then Spence would win two.
You know what it was? It was Porter was executing his game plan, and Spence was just standing there and telling him, no, you're not going to do that to me. And just hitting him.
It was a Sean Porter style fight. I mean, he came in, he bullied his way inside, fought mean and tough, and Spence just took
beat
it,
his body it right back. Up, man.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, he did.
Here's what it was, too. Spence was a much more active fighter. Or no, sorry, Porter was a much more active fighter, but Spence was a lot more accurate and, like, powerful with his shots.
Yeah, he was much more accurate. He landed more.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would go in, and it would be like Porter would throw two or three punches to get in, and then he'd land one on his way out, and then Spence would hit him with three of them on the way out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like, just like such the trades were uneven.
I had an even going into the 10th round, or the 11th round, I mean, after 10. And then in the 11th, we had Spence just pull ahead with that. He had a knockdown.
See, I had Spence up 2 going into 11th, and then the knockdown, I had him winning by.
I mean, I can see.
I had him the same as
well.
Yeah,
and it was really.
Yeah.
It was so close. But then with the knockdown in the 11th, I mean, I kind of sealed the deal.
Yeah, for sure.
And
if
spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fucking great fight.
It would have been a tragedy if they would have. We were talking about this a little bit before. You were saying that if he. I basically asked you what would have happened had he not knocked him down. And you said that they would most likely have ruled it a draw. Had they ruled that a draw last night, it would have been hell on earth, dude. There's no way they would have been able to call that a draw. There was too much action in that fight.
There was a lot of action in the fight. I mean, looking at the scorecards, I don't think you could make that argument after they released the actual scores.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was just me thinking. I wouldn't be surprised at all the way boxing is. It's a draw.
That's what I'm saying.
About it, honestly.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It would be that situation where it's like, oh, it's a draw, rematch. Everyone pays double. We're going to take 2 years to make it, and you're going to pay us triple.
The 4K broadcast for $99.95.
Yeah, fuck.
Fucking great fight, though. I mean,
hell yeah.
You can't complain about spending money on that. Good undercard, too. We had what Benavidez get his title back after being stripped. You know, he did some fucking coke. He got caught and got stripped of his title.
Shit happens.
Shit happens, right? He pulled a Jon Jones. Shit. Only Jon Jones didn't lose his title for coke.
Another fight where both guys were in the pocket and he was just landed more. He was just landed.
Darrell got that. He got a nasty cut, which Benavidez definitely took advantage of, because Darrell just had to go for it. I mean, he just had to fucking go all out.
Yeah.
Benavidez just kind of fucked him up with that.
That's what kind of sucks about getting a serious cut in boxing. It's like taken so much more seriously because it's head strikes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like
MMA, they'll let you bleed all over the
place. They'll let you bleed all over the place. With boxing, if you can't stop bleeding and it obstructs your vision whatsoever, you're done.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's worried that the fight's going to stop. So he went for broke. And he just, you know.
That's what sucks. Because that was a good fight.
Carved up. It was a good fight, though. Oh, man. Boxing's been fucking dope lately, man.
It has. Holy shit.
It seems like, you know, ever since the Fury came back, it's like it sparked not just in the heavyweights, but it just seems like there's good fights.
I don't even think it's that. I think so much more eyes have been on the sport than there was before that.
Whatever it is, it's fucking good shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I just want to go back to a little point about the main event. Also, is after the fight, we had Danny Garcia jump into the ring and talked about fighting Earl next.
Danny Garcia. Yeah, because that Crawford fight, as much as we'd all like to see it, it's probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
Probably each guy is going to fight two or three more times before they actually fight. But I don't foresee them, either of them, losing anytime soon. So
Pacquiao was talking noise before.
For who? For Crawford or Spence?
Spence.
I'd like to see that.
Fighting the winner, but you know, yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Of that poor fight.
You think it's too soon for Spence?
I don't know.
One thing about Pacquiao is he maybe isn't as physically, like, scary as he was and fast and powerful as he was when he was younger, but his game plan now is so down-packed that he can still fight how he used to when he was younger. You know, he never diverts from the game plan. He constantly, you know, he picks his rounds. He picks his rounds to take off. And that's kind of where he got in trouble in in his last fight, was, like, he came out strong, pressured him, and then kind of faded off late. So I'm curious to see if, with a younger guy like Spence, if Pacquiao could push him, you know?
Seems every time I want to write Pacquiao off, he just keeps on winning.
That's another thing. Has that champion's mentality.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. Spence took a hell of a shot last night on multiple occasions and just kept coming forward.
He took blows all night.
He's got a chin, man. Holy shit.
I mean, that was a good fight.
Both guys, man. Spence was laying some shots on Porter. I mean, obviously knocked him down, but there were some shots before that where I was thinking, man, how is Porter still on his feet?
I know, he would just bully his way.
I want to say in the ninth round, he like was, you know, how they kind of were getting into these situations where they were like clinching for a second, but then going like shoulder to shoulder, beating up the body, and then Spence backed off, hit him with the uppercut, and then the right hand, and fucking, did not know how Porter was still on his feet.
Yeah, he's got a high chin. I mean, really, it was on display last night, even with the knockdown. Such a.
Both guys, man.
I mean, he doesn't lose much shine with this loss at all.
I don't think so at all.
And he's definitely a problem for whoever he fights next, and is still right in the midst of this title contention if he gets back, you know, matched up well. We'll see how this fucking plays out.
Yeah, definitely. And this is another thing, is like welterweight is back again.
What, like, is in this bowl right here? Is this the Zookies?
Yeah. All right. Welterweight's back, man. Because you got to think.
Welterweight is definitely back.
Heavyweight and welterweight are probably the two most interesting weight classes right now.
And that's really the two you'd want to be. I mean, heavyweight's for obvious reasons. And then welterweight, I mean, that's the size of, like, the average person in the world. It's like, fucking welterweight. You know? So everybody is just like, and you look at the stories in that division, obviously. It's great for boxing. It's good for fans.
I never realized how small Porter was till last night. Yeah. Fucking Spence is big motherfucker compared to him. Spence is like a weird
Porter's
big
thick
though.
And wide.
Yeah, I was gonna say Spence is kind of wiry.
All fucking huge when he was bullying his way inside, but
yeah, Spence is kind of wiry. But like, he still has a lot of power. You know what I mean? Man, those body shots he was hitting them with were fucking
just savage.
He got away with a couple low blows, though.
Yeah, there was some low blows going on, especially there in what, the 8th, 6th, 7th, 8th, right back in there. There was a few that I went unfucking noticed by the refs, but Sean Porter's a tough motherfucker.
Yeah, dude, jeez.
So we're unsure of what's next for both of them, but we did get some clarification on another big fight in boxing, which is we finally got a date for that Wilder-Ortiz rematch.
Yep.
And that's going to be right here in our hometown of Las Vegas on, what, November 23rd?
Yep.
Is that what you said? Thanksgiving weekend, it sounds like. Which that's so Ortiz that's only lost to Wilder.
Mm-hmm. He looked good after it, too.
And it's pretty much, that's a very dangerous fight. Much more dangerous than the fights that Fury's been taking.
Although, if you're, anything can happen, man.
Yeah, just look at his last fight. You know, it's a testament to that shit. And I'm not knocking his opponents, especially.
Although, Wilder did prove he has an iron chin also.
Yeah, he took Ortiz's best shots. He took Fury's. Fury's got power. He doesn't, you know, he's got only 28 wins with 20 knockouts, I think it is. So he's not like a super power puncher, but he's got 8 that have gone.
He's got that volume punching.
He's got that volume punching, you know. He's not, Ortiz has got a fucking power. He's got that power. Even at 40, he's getting so close to over the hill, too. I keep waiting. When is he going to go? But again, heavyweights, just like in MMA, they can go for a while.
Fucking, I heard some story that Deontay Wilder would be like, he's gonna do some new punch for this fight to knock Ortiz out with.
Can you imagine? I don't know.
Hit them with some random ass shit. You're just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck just happened?
He said, bah.
Some crazy fucking street fighting shit. I don't know. He could do it.
That's the uppercut, dude. That's what you. You bob to the left and uppercut them.
Boom, we got, you know, you want to keep on the theme of some announced fights here in Vegas. We got another big card here in Vegas that'll be happening a little bit after that November 23rd Wilder-Ortiz fight, as we finally got a date for Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, welterweight UFC title unification. In my mind, since Colby is the interim champ.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, he is. You can't just take the belt away. But anyway, we're not going to rehash that old tired ass argument. But finally, December 14th, it tops off 3 fucking title fights on that card here in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena.
So we got Colby, Kamaru, JDR versus Amanda, and then which one? Oh, Alex and Max Holloway.
Yeah. How could you forget that?
That's a fucking
Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway.
I wonder, what's the co-main?
They haven't announced that yet. We're all just assuming that Usman Covington,
damn,
is the top.
I wonder what the other two fights on the card are.
I don't think a whole lot has been announced.
I'm gonna go ahead and.
You should look it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up real quick, just because that just seems like that's gonna be the barn burner of a card.
And people were talking shit, but this fight's finally here. And I think it's a toss-up. I think either one of those two guys could win, Usman or Colby.
Yeah. There's only one other fight on there. Jessica I versus Vivian. Some other. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
It's whatever it is. I don't think much has been announced. But I.
Oh, one that we did not talk about before. But we have another fight that was announced this week also. Brian Ortega is finally making his comeback, and he's fighting the Korean Zombie.
Yeah, that's a crazy fight.
That's a fucking fight, dude. I love that fight. It's at the end of the year. I think it's the last fight night of the year. It's like December 18th or something like that. It's fucking sick, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that.
Who do you like in that fight?
Shit, I don't. Probably the Zombie.
Think so?
Yeah.
Think Ortega's taking a step back?
Hmm.
Or do you think Zombie's just...
I think Zombie's a better fighter than we think he is.
It's possible. Did Zombie...
I'm not knocking Ortega at all. I just think he's... I think Zombie's...
Zombie won a fight since he lost the IR, hasn't he? Or is this his first fight back?
I know this might be his first fight back. I'm not sure. The Yair fight, I mean, I hardly counted against him. I mean, he has an L, but he was clearly whooping that ass till just a freaky thing. Literally 1 second left, gets KO'd with some crazy-ass backsided, upside-down ninja elbow.
Yeah, that shit was intense.
Which was dope, but I don't really think that takes any shine off of his fucking his improved skill set since he's returned to the UFC. And I think
Brian Ortega's been working with kickboxers lately. With Vinny Shorman and what's that other guy that the kickboxer? I can't think of his
Joe
name.
Joe Schilling?
Right now. No. Nah. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast with Vinny Shorman.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I can picture him in my eye, but my marijuana-induced brain can't recall that his name at the moment.
Yeah, but either way, he's been working with Brian Ortega.
That's
so
interesting.
I wonder how he's be shoring up his stand-up game.
Do you think this card's going to get any better? Or do you think they're going to load it with a bunch of lower-quality fights since they got three
fights? I mean, it's the last fight of the year, so there's... It's going to be one or two things, and I think it's just going to be dependent on time. So it's like really just like who's going to be left and who doesn't have fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty much what it's going to come down to. Are people going to want to fight this year or next year?
You ready to make a pick on that Colby Covington Kamaru Usman fight yet?
Do I even need to say?
Usman, I presume you're taking. I think Colby's going to win that fight.
I think Usman's going to beat the fuck out of him.
I think they're too similar, and I think Colby's gas tank's better.
See, I don't think so. I think they have equal gas tanks. I think Kamaru is just technically and physically better than Colby. He's a physically better version of what Colby is. Colby is hold on, let me finish.
I think Colby
is like the blue collar, like work, hard work version of what Kamaru is, but Kamaru has just physically better gifted.
There's more physical gifts than Colby does.
Yeah. And I think like he has a more explosiveness. I think he hits harder for sure. He's got better kicks,
but
he's more athletic.
I
feel like they have
I disagree on the athletic. I think he looks more muscular.
No,
I think his gas tank will fucking go. And I don't think it'll be an ass whooping, but I think Colby's going to win the decision.
Why didn't it go when he fought RDA then? RDA, that fight was going the entire time, five rounds nonstop. We watched it live.
Do you think he beat RDA better than Colby did?
Yeah.
Do you think he beat 100%. Maya better than Colby did?
Yep.
I disagree on both. That's why I think. With my MMA math. And I'm not just like I'm on the Colby Covington bandwagon. I just think he happens to win this fight.
See, I think RDA and Colby was an actual freaking competitive fight. Colby and Usman, RDA.
Saying some nonsense like, there you go. Dude, you need more cannabis in your life. Because you're not remembering well. So let's make that a bit worse.
You're tripping, dude. RDA didn't even get... didn't win a single second of his fight against Usman. Usman completely dominated him. Same thing with Maya. And he broke both his fucking hands and knocked him out, dude. Come on.
All right, then.
You can't
deny
it.
We'll see. We got December 14th. We'll see. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be butthurt if Colby loses. I'm not invested like that. I just think he wins. And then I think he's going to be pretty insufferable after that. But we'll see. We will see.
There's another fight that
we had a slew of announced fights. What's the next
Jeremy
one?
Stevens and Yair got rescheduled for...
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in October, right?
October, yeah.
Yeah, like what the...
The last card October, I don't know which is.
That's good.
But
we need to get that done right away.
Get a
rescheduled.
I think it's Boston. The Boston card. Yeah.
That's better for Stevens.
Yeah, shit.
A lot better altitude there in Boston.
Fuck.
Shit. Fight at 7,000 feet in Mexico City.
So, who do you have in that fight?
Oh, I got Stevens now for sure. Yair, to me, is His behavior is very odd. I find it very odd.
I don't understand why he's so mad.
I don't understand any of his
actions. I like his skills and I like him as a fighter, but I just don't understand why he's so angry.
And I think it ties into like some, not that he's weak mentally, but his mental game doesn't seem to be on point based on some of his actions, and that's why I would give. I thought Stevens was going to win the first fight anyways, but now I really think Yair's head is somewhere. I don't know. He's been acting fucking weird.
Yeah.
I don't
Very
get it.
Strange.
And Stevens, I don't think, appreciates this sudden narrative. I don't understand this narrative. Like, somehow, of all people, Jeremy Stevens was scared. Like, he's a bitch. He's a guy who, like, I tasted the power. I can't fuck with Rodriguez. I'm going to lie my way out of this fight.
Yeah. Like, I definitely see what you're saying, but I never thought that. I don't understand that narrative because we're talking professional fighting here. No one's scared of anybody. So at the end of the day, I think it's just more of a thing where two guys are talking shit and trying to, you know, get a rise out of each other, and everyone is just running with it, like with all these stories. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these stories that are out, there's like everyone's just running with it, how many angles they want to take it. Like, I saw like MMA fighting is like, Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stevens lash homophobic slurs at each other. It's like, come on, guys. Like, there's so many stupid angles you could take this story in. Like, there was like, I saw another one was like, Jeremy Stevens attacked by Yair Rodriguez in hotel room. It's like, God, get the fuck out of here with that shit, man. It's like, both guys walked up to each other and said, hey, what the fuck's up? I thought your eye was hurt or whatever. Why'd you give up or what? I don't know. Like, you know, those heated arguments, they called each other basically, you know, called each other a bitch. And then fucking Stevens pushed him. Yair pushed him back, and then that was it. Like, it was like everyone, like, played it like it was like this fucking...
MMA media loves to make it so much more dramatic.
Yeah. Like, I get it. There's definitely a feud there, without a doubt. Right now, there's a big feud between those two because of the history of what happened and all that shit.
You have to take issue with non-PC words.
Yeah.
That might have been thrown in, seriously, in private conversations that no one would have even known about if the media itself hadn't blasted it all over.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
You can't get mad at because somebody said some shit in a private conversation that
you
made public.
Yeah.
I always find that ironic as fuck.
Yeah, and it's like, not only that, they're trying to antagonize the other person. So it's like, it's not like they're trying to fucking, they're commenting on something tangible about someone. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like they're not talking about somebody or something. They're literally throwing fucking insults at each other. Jesus Christ.
I know. People are over here like, took a mic at some award ceremony was like, I hate fags or some horribly offensive shit like that. You know what I mean?
He's like,
they get mad. He calls some dude a fag. I mean, that's what he said, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's like, oh,
and then
he's
called him
out.
And then he said it right back. And then they pushed each other. Like, it's at.
Like that should be.
Like,
the story.
That headline was so ridiculous. Yeah. It's like, Jeremy Stevens, Yair Rodriguez throw homophobic slurs at each other. Like, what are you talking about? Shut the fuck up.
Seriously, we don't. We just don't need it in MMA. There's plenty of other storylines. I think that's, you know, I don't know. They love the fucking the soap opera bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's stupid. I think there's a whole lot more being made of it than there is there. And I think Yair Rodriguez wins the fight.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We should make a little bet. I should bet on Stevens.
Yeah, we got fucking bet on dude. We'll parlay it, dude. You take Colby and Stevens, and I'll take.
Well, there needs to be some consequence here. We didn't discuss this pre-show at all. This is some spur of the moment. What's the consequence? I mean, should it be just something simple like, you know, someone's got to buy somebody some weed?
Yeah, sure. Well,
yeah.
Buy me some fucking weed, dude.
All right. Winner owes the loser an eighth.
All right, that's cool, dude.
All right.
I'm gonna go.
Now, what happens if we split? You got to win both fights, right? You got to win
both
fights.
Yeah, both fights, so we got to get a third fight. What's the third fight?
Got to get a third.
Around that same time.
Well, I mean, I'm taking... I don't know what else is around the same time right now.
We're talking October. On that
card... Well, we still got some time. We can pick
another
one.
Cater and,
we don't have to finalize the third fight.
Hold on, I got one. On that same card... There's Calvin Kattar and Zabit. I'll take Calvin Kattar.
I don't want to have to pick Zabit. I don't like that fight. What? I mean, I like Zabit, but I don't have to fucking...
Dude, that's like almost a guarantee. You fucking won't take it.
We need a bigger fight than that.
All right. I'll take... You want to take Volkanovski? Let's go this weekend.
How about the Nunes fight? You want to take GDR? I'm taking Nunes.
No.
You want to take Volkanovski? Maybe I'll pick Volk to upset Holloway.
You just told me if I want him, and then you said maybe you'll pick him. Yeah. So what
are we talking here? I'm fucking high. I'm just tossing out ideas over here.
What about next weekend? How about Adesanya versus Whitaker? I'll take Adesanya.
Well, I'm taking Adesanya, too.
What the fuck, dude?
What the fuck? You know this.
Don't lie, dude.
You know this. All right. I'll tell you what. We'll just pick a fight. We got some time before then. By next episode, we'll pick a consequential third fight. Loser buys winner in eighth.
Sure. All right. Well, fight that is also was announced was Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz. In Vegas, who you got?
I like Wilder in the win, in the rematch. Wilder. I think Ortiz is a live dog. He can definitely knock him out. But I like Wilder. He's going
to
pull it off.
That's what's strange, though, is if you look back to that the first fight, Wilder had to knock him out or he was going to lose that fight. So I don't necessarily know if Ortiz were to just stick to the game plan, in which he did not. In the last fight, I think he could probably get it done. Because honestly, the whole thing with fighting Wilder is you gotta fight close, and you can't let him loop the big shots and hit you with the long punches. You know, you gotta stay in tight and make it a little dirty. You know.
All right. Let's say that happens. Let's say Ortiz gets the fucking the win. Do you think that he takes the slot against Fury that Wilder had, or do you think they go with a rubber match?
No, I think he probably goes to the rubber match. Then Fury fights the winner of Ruiz versus Joshua. Unless that goes to a rubber match too, fuck. And then Tyson Fury would be left with nobody.
I don't think Anthony Joshua. Oh, he might. I don't know.
There was a rumor going out that Anthony Joshua could fight. This rematch might be his last fight. They might retire after, win or lose.
See, I was just gonna say is that I don't really see if Joshua wins him giving a third fight to Ruiz. I mean, maybe, but I would be surprised. I would think that wouldn't happen.
No.
I don't think that's gonna be the blockbuster fight everybody thinks it is. I mean, I think it'll be blockbuster inside the boxing world.
Yeah.
But as far as the general public translates into pay-per-view dollars, I don't think it's going to be this monstrous fucking event.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We shall fucking see. First, to do that, Wilder's got to get by Ortiz.
Definitely.
So that's ultimately, who are you picking? You picking Ortiz?
Shit.
You didn't make a pick.
I'm taking the live dog, dude. I'll take Ortiz. Are you?
Well, we should just make that the third fight then in our bet right there, because I'm taking Wilder.
No, because that's such a dog.
Ah.
That's not even, like, I don't even believe that pick. I could just think it could happen.
All right, well, then we'll pick another fight, like we said.
What about the BMF? Who are you taking there?
I'm taking Nate.
Fuck you.
Well, you want fuck Nate me too. Because I have the wise pick. You have to take Nate in that. You have to. No disrespect.
What's under that card? What's under there?
On the New York City?
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden? I'm not even sure.
What about Till Gastelum? Who are you taking there?
I like Gastelum.
I'll take Till. That's the third fight.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Gastelum.
Fuck Till. You. Till's going to put back on the mat.
Boy, Kelvin, he's going to smoke some herb up. He's going to train hard, and he's going to knock that fool out, too.
Well, speaking of middleweights, let's talk about next weekend.
Tell me.
We got a fight down
just
in
a little thing.
Little tiny
little thing, and some little fucking arena down there, huh?
Yeah, no.
No, but seriously,
it's gonna be the largest live fight in fucking UFC history.
Yeah, the This should break the gate record as well. It's definitely breaking the attendance record.
Oh,
as
yeah,
far as
for
I
sure.
Understand it. And thus, it should break the all-time gate record as well.
Yep. Was it the same stadium that Holly Holm and Rousey was at?
I think so, but I could be mistaken. I'm not really up on all that shit.
Yeah.
As far as what's the biggest stadium venue.
But now, this is different now, though, because not only is it the biggest stadium that they got, but it's the two biggest stars they got, too. And you got them from both sides. You got them from the New Zealand side, and you got them from Australia. You know, yeah. You got. I mean, although both guys are from New Zealand, Whitaker has like spent most of his life. You know,
it just unifies the whole area.
Yeah,
has a reason to show up.
Everyone's going to be there, and you got a lot of guys that are from there fighting on there too. You got Tuivasa fighting on there. Yeah, you know, and then also you got Dan Hooker fighting. Raging Al's heading down it over to Australia. He said he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's a tough
broke
out.
His computer again on Errol's show when he talked about it. Raging Al's fucking funny, dude.
Dude, I love that guy.
He's a classic.
That's a tough fight, though. Dan Hooker's a tough dude.
Dan Hooker's tough, but he's...
I like Al to win that fight, but I don't
Yeah, I think Al. I think Al takes it.
Yeah.
I think Hooker's still too little fresh in the gills. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's tough, but I just don't think, like, I feel like he's run into the most issues against these more, like, veteran fighters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That whereas he, once he gets his shit going, he's unstoppable. But if you stop his rhythm and you disrupt him and get inside of that range he doesn't want you in, you know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't like that close. He likes to be... outside, throw the kicks, you know, kickbox pretty much. And then if, you know, Al, he does have some grappling game, so I'd imagine Al keeps it close.
He has a good grappling game. I mean, he's been dirty boxing. Toughest out to date.
Yeah. A little bit of dirty boxing, and yeah, I think Al gets it done.
I like him in the fight too, but it's going to be a fucking scrap.
All right, well, let's talk about the main event then. Robert Whittaker.
How long has it been now?
It's been a while, dude.
Long time since Robert Whittaker has stepped into the octagon. Well, Adesanya has been one of the busiest fighters in the UFC over that same period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough man.
But is that a plus or a minus?
Yeah, there's arguments either way.
Because Adesanya is also coming off a fucking 5-round drag it out. I'm willing to die war. It's literally what he said. He said in multiple interviews, he said he looked across the octagon and looked at Kelvin and said, I'm ready to die. And then fucking went out and beat his ass in the 5th round.
He did.
He fucked him up in the 5th round. He looked fresh, dude. He looked like brand new. So I wonder, because Whitaker is going to be there. He's going to be fucking tough in the first 3. But I wonder where he's going to be in the 4th and the 5th, because as we saw, that's what happened in the Yoel fight, is Whitaker came out and dominated the first 3 rounds, but in the 4th and 5th, there was arguments of 2 10-8s.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was.
You know, Whitaker's a tough motherfucker, and it's going to be I could very well see this going like the Gastelum fight for these guys again.
Yeah.
But I think, although Gaslam's a tough motherfucker, I think Whitaker is another level of tough motherfucker.
I think it's going to be a decision win for Adesanya.
Split decision?
No.
Unanimous?
Yeah.
Damn.
I think it'll be close in the beginning, and I think in the end, Adesanya's going to piece him up. Similar to the 5th round against
Gaslam.
That's
what I'm worried about, though, because I could see Whitaker winning the first 3 and losing the last 2 and still walking away because the champion wins the decision.
See, I don't know. I can see Adesanya coming out and winning everything, but we'll see. I just think the first 3 is going to be close. But ultimately,
he's another one. He starts slow.
Here we go.
Adesanya, he has that like Thai like style. He starts slow. The first round he's not the same. I mean, although he's had some quick finishes.
He's learning rhythm and range.
But you know what I mean, though? He's had some slow starts.
Yeah.
Whitaker's tough, man. I'd like to see where Adesanya's grappling game is at against a guy like Whitaker. Whitaker's a tough motherfucker on the ground. And he can take you down.
Adesanya's been improving his grappling from fighter to fight. Yeah. I imagine it's no different at this point. But we'll see. We'll see just how it's gotten. We're going to learn a lot.
I wonder how much, like we were talking about before, that I wonder how much of that damage he still carries into this fight.
Whitaker?
Adesanya.
Adesanya. I don't think.
How long ago was that?
It's been a while now.
Nah, it was like 3 months ago.
Nah, it was like 3-4 months.
Still, that's pretty tough. That was a fucking war.
It was a war. But I think it'll be fine.
That was probably the best fight I've ever seen.
For MMA, I think that was probably was fight of the year to this point, I've ever seen. Right?
Yeah. Especially like live, like watching it, like obviously there's probably better fights that happened before I was born, when I was a kid, shit like that. But I'm saying, like, as far as like fights I've seen in my lifetime, that was one of the best fights ever.
Yeah, it was February 10th.
So February, March.
So 7 months.
Oh, it's in 7 months? Okay. Yeah. Never mind. He should be fine then.
Yeah, a little over. So yeah, he'll be healed up. God,
I wonder.
Flies, dude. Damn.
Yeah. Well, how much time did Whitaker have to take off because of that? Because of his injury?
He's been out close to a year again. He hasn't fought much.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough fucking fight, man. I don't know. But definitely thinking Adesanya etches out a decision.
Just split a few decision. Days, man. We'll get to see it. I agree 100%. I think we're going to have a new fucking, some new blood and a new superstar.
I just don't see him knocking Whitaker out.
No, it'll be a decision. Whitaker will keep, if he can.
If he knocks Whitaker out, though, Romero, holy shit.
Yeah, that'd be a shocker.
And then if I was Adesanya, I'd jump on the mic and call out Paulo Costa. I'd be like, hey, you juice head, let's roll.
Yeah, Costa, we'll see what
happens
there.
That's the money fight right there. Remember, they were talking shit not too long ago.
Yeah,
remember, we talked about this. We talked about this, I want to say, around one of our first episodes about how they were talking shit back and forth, how both of them could possibly end up in a situation for the belt. And if Adesanya is able to pull off the fucking win on next Saturday, we very well could see that.
Mm-hmm. I like that fight a lot, too. That'll be fucking pretty dope.
Now, is this main event in normal time zone or... is it?
Let's check that out. Because
they've been catering it to the countries they've been going to recently.
With an event this size and that many people there live, I assume that it's in their time zone. That's going to make a lot more sense to me. It's probably in the afternoon or some shit. Because aren't they a full day ahead, I believe?
I don't know.
October 5th. I'm just looking for the time. I don't know. It's not, I'm not showing a time, just a date.
Seven p.m.
our time. Yeah. So. That's like Sunday afternoon over there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about wraps up the show today. So.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was looking at this. We talked a little bit last week about this hemp fusion, this full spectrum hemp extract. I've been using that sleep one throughout the week, and I got to say, I think it's making a difference. I don't really know for sure yet. It's kind of a product you got to keep using.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bullshit anybody, but I got to say, I took it for 3 nights in a row, and I thought I was sleeping better because you can tell by the circles under my eyes, dude. I sleep like shit. You know me. I don't fucking sleep well. I'm always complaining about it, even with the amount of weed I smoke. And so I thought it was helping. And then so night before last, I didn't take any, and I slept like shit like I always do. Took a couple more last night, and I slept a lot better. So I'm going to keep using these, man. There's a full bottle here, and I'll let everybody know what I think. But I so far, I got to say I'm kind of impressed with it. But
yeah, I use the CBD lotion. It actually helps. It's like it kind of feels like an Icy Hot sort of because it has that mint.
It's got the menthol infused into it too, so it gets that going as well. Well, cool, man. I'm going to try out that balm as I need it, and we'll let everybody know what we think. You can find out about them if you're interested, folks, at hempfusion.com.
And then you can find out all our information over at swapmay.com, where you can go ahead and get a t-shirt, maybe a jacket, something cool, you know. Winter's coming, motherfuckers.
Absolutely. Links are there for everything. WBUZ 95, Thursday nights, 6 p.m. here in Las Vegas. That's 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can also catch the video on YouTube. You can catch the podcast, like button, wherever podcasts are distributed. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.